Okay, we're up to Ach Mafsidei HaChasidus. Last week we learned about the things that promote Chasidus, and now the things that hinder it and prevent you from really acquiring this midah. Ach Mafsidei HaChasidus, where is it?
Everybody
some? Okay. Heim HaChirdos VaHadaigos. Thing that prevents Chasidus. We said that in order to be a Chasid, you have to think. You can't be a Chasid without thinking. And really pondering everything you do for all the reasons that were mentioned. And therefore, the opposite of that is things that cause you not to think, which are things that bother you and worry you. Because then you're so busy with the bothers and the worries that you don't have time to think about other things. Ki biyos ha-seichel torud v'nechpas b'dagosov v'asokov. When a person's mind is so busy with his worries and his trivial business things, it's impossible to really spend time thinking about more important things. Right? Your mind can only be involved in certain amount of things at the same time. And if it's busy with worrying and trivial pursuits, you're not going to be able to think about more important things.
How does this differ than Zahiros? Because it also says...
Look, it's two different kinds of thought. There also, he said. Zahiros is the beginning. In fact, he says, what's it called? Chasidus is the opposite, or maybe, of Zrizus. And Zrizus and Zahiros go together, negative and positive. Right? This is the higher level of Zrizus, Chasidus. So it's Echonami. And in order to be a Zoriz and a Zohir, you also have to think. But here it's a different level of thinking about different things. But in order to reach Chasidus, you have to have that level of being able to think about the things that lead you to Chasidus. It's impossible to do without thinking deeply. So it hinders the Chasidus. It also hinders the things you have to think about to be a Zohir. They're different things. Both of them involved thinking. They're thinking about different things, but both of them are hindered by the same kind of things too. Daigus and...
What we're talking about here is somebody who is past the level of Zahiros and therefore has overcome the Tirdos in order to begin to think about...
He hasn't necessarily overcome the Tirdos. He's been able to think about the things that are necessary to think about Zahiros. But he, what's it called, doesn't necessarily free himself enough to think about the things which you need much more deeper thought to the Chasidus. So he may have freed himself from the Iker, Tirdus and Daigus that prevent him from thinking on the level of Zahiros, but he hasn't freed himself from those things that prevent him from thinking about more deeper things about Chasidus, which you need much more recuse. Right? You have to be focused much more to the Chasidus things than the Zahiros things. Okay, that's what he says. Efshor ki biyos haseichel toru v'nechpas b'dagoso v'asokov. Efshor lefanos alayz bonus hazeh. Could be the ikar is over hazeh. This bonus you could have, right, on a certain level, right, even if you're torud or whatever and have daigas. But has bonus hazeh, which really needs focus, that even if you have a little bit of daigas and whatever, you're not going to be able to. So maybe the dogish is on the hazeh. Not his bonus stam, but his bonus hazeh. When it bli his bonus, lo yasiga chasidus. And therefore it's impossible to have chasidus without his bonus. Vafilu in hisi kvar. Not only that, he says, even if you already reach the madrega of chasidus, hine atirdos mavrichas rasechel ma'arvos osam, oso ve'eno menichas oso lischazik biyiro vi'ava, v'shar ha'inyonim asherechem ala chasidus kashir zacharti. Even if you already reach that level, it's impossible to remain on that level if you're going to have not constantly thinking. See, by Zahiros, it could be you don't need to constantly think. You have to prepare yourself by thinking to get to Zahiros. But in order to maintain the Chasidus, it has to be an ongoing, constant Hisboninus. That could be another difference. By Zahiros, it's a preparation for Zahiros. Here it's not a preparation for Chasidus. The ongoing Ava, Yira, whatever, is necessary to have a mind that's clear from daigus or whatever. So it's a different kind of hisbonus.
I think right now, I think it could be the difference is that for Zahiros, it's not hisbonus, it's Simas Leiv. It's paying attention to what you're doing. Over here is, even if you pay attention, to actually be misboning further, it's a different...
Okay, that's exactly what you said. I mean, just in different words. In other words, for Zahiros, it's enough just to have, you could still have some digas or whatever, but you have to, what's it called, you have to prepare yourself by thinking into what you're doing. But here, his boneness is an ongoing thing where anything that takes you away from that focus prevents you from any chasidus. So one is much deeper thought than the other. So they're fine. One's sima slave and one's his boneness. Two different madrigas. But also, it's also, this has to be constant. The other one's a preparation.
Right. It's also constant.
Well, no, it doesn't have to be. Just if you reach the madriga of Zahiras, you don't need that preparation. You thought into the things that bring you to Zahiras, and you keep them in your mind, and even though right now you're not thinking about them 100%, but you prepared yourself to be a Zohir by thinking about the things that bring you to Zahiras. Here he's saying that that's not good enough for Hasidus. You can't just think about the things that bring you to Hasidus. It has to be ongoing, constantly, otherwise you lose it. Al kein amru chazal, ein hashchina shore. Since we're talking over here with Chassidus is Ava Yira, having a bond with the Shechina. So Shechina won't come, lo mitoch atzvus, right? And ela mitoch simcha, what's it called? You can't be worried and sad and torud, right? Then you won't have that bond with the Rabbanu Shalom. And that's what Chassidus is. So if you want to keep up that bond, you can't have any of these things at any time. Surely if you're steeped in all different kinds of physical, material pleasures, you're going to be far away from having that bond with the Shechinah. Because those kinds of physical, material things seduce a person and pull him to get away from Ruchnias. And the epitome of Chassidus is that bond with the Rabbanu Shalom. V'sar mikolin yoni aprishus v'yediyah hamitis. And therefore, this yediyah doesn't just mean knowledge. Yediyah means a chibur, a bond. And that bond is destroyed if you're not concentrating on it all the time. If you're bothered, you're worried, you're involved with, your mind is on too many material things or whatever, or business things or whatever, it takes you away from that bond. So how do you prevent yourself from having all these worries and daigas and parnosa and worries or whatever? Hu habitachem. That is having bitachem. The Chazon Ish says that bitachon is the lemaisa of emuna. Emunah is the theory, and bitachon is putting it into practice. And we'll see in one second that bitachon does not mean that I have faith that whatever I want to happen is going to happen. We'll see in one second what bitachon is. But it's not, bitachon is not, I'm sure that the Rabbanu Shalom is going to see to it that what I want to be is going to be. That's not bitachon, that's ridiculous. V'hu sheyashlich yoval Hashem legam. Yeah.
How
can someone just be a family man or a family lady and just enjoy their children and all these sort of things? If the whole time you're meant to be misbonen somewhere else, you won't be in Mitzolam with them. No, the epitome of this madrega is that everything that you do physically or whatever, you're doing it for a purpose because you realize the way you're doing it, right, is bringing you closer to the Rabbanu Shalom. So that was the madrega of the Avos. They, and Moshe Rabbeinu for that matter also, they could be doing every physical thing in the world, and through that, their entire intention was to bond with the Rabbanu Shalom. So they could be talking to people and being machnes oreach, and all of that was means to bond with the Rabbanu Shalom. So they enjoyed their children, and they were family people, and they took care of their spouses, but everything they did in a way that they saw was a means of bonding with the Rabbanu Shalom. So it wasn't just for its own sake. It was for the sake of doing Ratzon Hashem. The Rabbanu Shalom wants me to enjoy my children. He wants me to be involved with my family. He wants me to earn a living. So I'm doing it the way that will connect me to him, because this is part of what he wants me to do. So that's a very high madrega. That whatever a person's doing, his mind is really on the Rabbanu Shel Olam, and these are only emtsoyim, right? They're means to have that bond with the Rabbanu Shel Olam. That's what real chassidus is. A person is totally, everything he does is for what's it called, it reaches to a higher madrega of kedusha, but that's along the way. So you can have all those things, but you're not involved with them for their sake. You're involved with them because they are means of connecting to the Rabbanu Shel Olam. And the way you do them, the mitzvah is like that too. But you're doing them not for their sake. You're doing them because they're positive things in what the Rabbanu Shel Olam wants you to do. You're doing them to Mekayim Ratzon Hashem.
It sounds... I mean, if you're playing with your child or doing things with your child,
right,
for a different motive, the child is a means to an end. It sounds very...
No, but the end is also... it's similar to something we said before about Shabbos, let's say. There's a mitzvah to enjoy Shabbos. Okay? So if I eat cholent, and I'm doing that because I want to fulfill the Ratzon Hashem. He wants me to enjoy Shabbos. I'm enjoying it, right? But I'm doing it for a higher purpose that doesn't take away the enjoyment from the cholent, or the fact that I have to be makir tova to my wife for making a good cholent. Same thing with the child, right? I want to bond with this child and not because I want to do it stam. But I want to do it because that's what the Rabbanu Shel Olam wants. He wants parents and children, grandparents and grandchildren to have a good kesher with each other. And it's good for the child. And I'm doing it. And the Rabbanu Shel Olam wants it to be good for the child. So I'm doing it for all these reasons. But the ultimate reason is because all of this is a kiyum of Ratzon Hashem. So it's the same exact feeling, except I'm not doing it and the kid is just a means of reaching an end. But that which I'm doing for the child is a positive thing. But that's because the Rosh Baruch Hashem wants it to be. So I'm doing those things to Mekayim Ratzon Hashem. So it's not, again, that the child is the pawn in all of this. That the child's, the sake of the child is paramount. But the sake of the child is what's Ratzon Hashem. The same exact feeling of enjoying that child. And the question is, are you enjoying it because the Rosh Baruch Hashem wants you to enjoy it? Or you're enjoying it because you stop enjoying it. And the end result, I'm enjoying the cholent because it tastes good. But why am I enjoying it because it tastes good? Because the Rebbe wants me to taste things that taste good? Fine. Or because I like to eat things that taste good. Right? So it's not the child becomes a pawn and you don't really care about the child. No, you do care. All those things are there. Except all of that is what's Ratzon Hashem. If it's not, stop idling your time away, wasting, you know, talking to kids. That's what says in Pirkei Avos, a person who spends his time, you know, idling away with children by wasting his time. But if you're doing it for the right reason, with the right amount or whatever, right, then, and you're doing it because the Rabbanu Shalom says that's what's important here in this world. Right, for parents to bond with their children, to give children, whatever they be, whatever the reason we do it anyway, right, then that's called chassid, that's called Ratzon Hashem. Okay. So bitachon, v'hu, shiyashlich yehovo l'Hashem l'gamre. Put your burdens on the Rabbanu Shalom. Let the Rabbanu Shalom take care of your burdens. We'll soon say what that means. V'ashir yoda, ki vaday i'ef sheshiyechzer l'odem asher nikzev lo. Nothing can be taken away from you. Right? Whatever is supposed to come to you is going to come to you. Kamo she'amru chazal b'mamarehem, kol mezonosav shel adam kivutzim lo mirosh hashanah. The Rabbanu Shalom decides how much parnosah a person is going to make in the year, and that is kavutzlo. Okay, right? It said katsuvlo. Ktsuvim lo, right. V'chein amru, you can't take anything away from anybody else. You can't, what belongs to another person is his, what's yours is yours. And a person has no ability, we'll see one second what that means. I mean, you can steal things from people too. Right? Be over a surit. But we'll see one second what that means. V'chein amru, ein adam nogea b'muchem l'chaver afil k'mali nima. V'kvar oyo adam yochol v'yos yoshev u'botel. So it was therefore possible, okay, theoretically, that a person could sit in his house and do nothing. And he'll get what he's supposed to get for that year. Somehow. Except there's a condition. There's a problem. And that is that there was a knas given to human beings because of the chait of Adam and Chava. You have to work to eat. Therefore, it became necessary to be mishtadel to get your parnasa. That seems now to be a contradiction. Okay, so now, if you don't work, you won't get your parnasa. So how can you let the Rabbanu Shalom take over when, in fact, now the Rabbanu Shalom put it in your hands? So which is it? What do I care what it was before the chait of Adam and Chava? Right now, after the chait of Adam and Chava, there's a knas that you have to work to live. So if you don't work, you won't live. So you have to be worried about how it's working. Well, we're back where we started. What is? Let's see, one second. Shekein gozer amelech ha'elyon. V'harizeh kamo sheporeya kol hamin ho'enoshi asher ein limolik menu. This is something that everybody has to pay. You have to pay that knas. You have to work. Al kein omru yochel afilo yoshivu batal. Therefore, Chazal said, I might think that even if you do nothing, you'll get your parnasa. Tamad lomer b'chol mishlach yodech asher ta'aseh. Right, whatever you'll do, you have to do. Ach lo sha'ishtadlus hi ha'moel. This is the ikar. It's not that the ishtadlus is what makes the result. Ela sha'ishtadlus mukhrach. You have to be mishtadl. But the ishtadlus is not the cause of your success. The kivan sh'ishtadl harayotze dechovaso. Ishtadlus is merely a prerequisite. It's a condition. You fulfill the condition, and then the Rabbanu Shalom will do his part. You don't fulfill the condition, the Rebbe Shem won't do his part. The Kvar Yesh Makom LeBirka Shemaim SheTishra Alav The Ain Tzarech LeValos YaMav BeHaritzos HaShtadlus. We'll see one second what the difference is, but it's coming out that HaShtadlus does not mean that now God put it in your hands. He's still the one who gives you a parnasa, and he sets it up before every Rosh Hashanah what you're going to get. Now, if you do nothing, then because you did nothing, you're not going to get. If you do and fulfill the condition, you'll get what you're supposed to get. You're not going to get more, you're not going to get less. You'll get what you're supposed to get as long as you put in the ishtadlus that's necessary for yourself. But you're not causing the result. You're just paying a fine. You're fulfilling a prerequisite. One second, we'll see how it pans out and explains what he's saying. Humashikosav David HaMelech Kilomim Motso Mimarov, right? All these things don't come from the east and the west, right? The Rabbanu Shalom, Kielokim Shofet. Everything comes from the Rabbanu Shalom. Ushlomo Amelech Olav Ashalom Amar. Al Tiyagya Lahashem Mibinosra Chodel. Don't put too much effort in to become rich. Don't think that everything depends on your Seichel. El Haderach Amiti Hu Darkam Shalachasidim Arishonim. What is the proper path? Osim Torosim Iker Umalachtum Tfela. They made the Torah the Iker in their life, and the Malacha working was a secondary thing. The Zev Zeniskayim Be'er. Therefore, they were able to learn. They were able to then with a clear mind, and they were able to work and make a parnasa. Ki kiven she'asa adam shas Malacha Misham v'hala einu el liftar b'kono v'lo litzar al shum devar olami. As long as you put in your minimal hashtadlus, your yotze, and now the Rabbanu Shalom will take over. A person who really believes that, we'll see what that'll be. Oz tishor daito pnuya, and then you won't have all these daigas, no worries, no busy things to worry about, either to worry or to be involved in, no involvements, because you'll put in your minimum hashtadlus and you're finished. And you won't worry about making a parnosis, it'll come. Okay, now let's see what he means. Because l'chora, I mean, once you have to be mishtadel, so we're back to where we started. If you could hashlech yehavol Hashem, put everything under Rabbanu Shalom and he'll do it, but you can't do that. Because the Rabbanu Shalom won't do it unless you do something. Once you have to do something, so why aren't you worried anymore? What's the difference between what things are like to what he said, that a person shouldn't be worried about his parnasa or whatever, because let the Rabbanu Shalom take care. But after the chait of Adam and Chava, the Rabbanu Shalom doesn't take care. So then we're back to where we were. But the answer is like this. I always like to connect it to explain why Yosef was in prison for 2 years extra, because he asked the Sar HaMashkim to get him out of prison. I think it's the Vorne holds Mamash Emes, but in any case, it really brings out this point. The Chazal say that Yosef was punished with an extra 2 years in prison because he told the Sar HaMashkim, Ki im zechartani v'ishkartani, remember me and remember me to Paro and get me out of here. So the obvious question is, what was the problem? He did his ishtadlus. A person has to be ishtadlus. He has to put in an effort. He can't just rely that the Rabbon Shem is going to do everything for him. You have to be mishtadl. So what was the problem? So some say because he did too much mishtadlus. He said zechartani v'hishkartani, remember me and remember me to Paro. He just could have said remember me. He said extra, right, two things, so he sneaked us 2 years. So on that they asked, okay, only the second one was a problem, first one wasn't, so only be 1 year. No, once he did too much ishtadlus, the first one also wasn't right. Okay, so that's 2 years. The only problem with that is, why 2 years? Could have been 2 months, 2 days. Why 2 years extra? It could have been another month, 2 months. Why 2 years? Beyond that, if the purpose of putting him in prison for an extra time is to punish him and to teach him a lesson, I don't need your ishtadlus. I can do it on my own, the Rabbanu Shalom tells him. Yeah. So then why did he get out of the prison in the end through the Sar HaMashkim? The lesson was not that strong. In other words, the Rabbanu Shalom should have said, look, I don't need your hishtadlus, and I'll prove it to you. The Sar HaMashkim is going to die, right? And he's never going to speak to Paro, and you're going to get out of prison anyway. So you thought you're going to get yourself out of prison through the Sar HaMashkim. I'll show you don't need the Sar HaMashkim at all. But in the end, how did he get out of prison? Exactly as he said. The Sar HaMashkim remembered him to Paro. Paro took him out. So that's a pretty bad way of teaching him a lesson. I don't need your help. You shouldn't have told the Sar HaMashkim or whatever. You see, Yosef could say, you see, it worked. That's how I got out. So therefore, I'd like to explain that the chet of Yosef was not that he did too much ishtadlus. It's that he did ishtadlus the wrong way. He didn't do ishtadlus. He made it appear as if he is the cause of what's going to happen. In other words, the idea of ishtadlus is, like the Mesillas Yesharim says openly, but the Michtam Eliyahu amplifies it. A person could think that after the chet of Adam and Chava, the Rabbanu Shalom said, okay, I'm not going to take care of you anymore. It's in your hands. And you make a living. Okay. That's not what happened. The Rabban Shem said, I'm still the one making you your living, except after the chait of Adam and Chava, right, I'm not going to do nisim gluyim for you. I'm not going to do what you consider miraculous. You don't do anything, and all of a sudden the parnassah is going to come. Why? Because on the Madrega, after the chait, that would force people to believe. Because, what's it called? I see miracles constantly around me. So the Rabban Shem said, therefore, does it have to be a pischon peh? There has to be a place for the bracha to be chal. That you could make a mistake and think that you did it. You have to put in your hishtadlus. It's a condition. It's a condition only to enable the Rabban Shem then to give you a parnasa, and it shouldn't be something that forces you to believe. There's a makom litos, and you should choose to believe that it's not your hishtadlus that's making the result, it's the Rabban Shem making the result. Before the chait, people are on a level where they could see miracles all the time and still have the chiyuv. After that, they couldn't see miracles all the time and have to what's it called, at least be able to attribute it to natural causes and choose not to. Choose to realize it's the Rabban Shem. Then you're still in choice. But if it happened with miracles, you couldn't not think it's the Rabban Shalom, and then there'd be no purpose, there's no Bechira. So that was the condition. Therefore, you're not making a living. You're not creating your living. Whatever the Rabban Shalom is kotzev. If you fulfill your condition, you'll get what is kotzev. If you won't fill the condition, you won't get it. But not because you didn't cause your parnasa, or you caused your parnasa. Parnasa is there. Whether you get it or not is only if you fulfill a condition or not. It's not that you cause it. It's there for you anyway. And therefore, the what's it called? It's the Gemara says that if the Rabbanu Shem gives you life, and you can't do anything about that, you don't make your heart beat, right? You don't make your lungs work. They work, right? Whether you like it or not. Even if you try to hold your breath, you can't kill yourself by holding your breath, because eventually you'll faint and automatically you'll start breathing again. So if the Rabbanu Shem can take care of all those bodily functions and you have nothing to do with it, he can't give you parnasa. That's absurd. Chafetz Chaim is a marshal. There's a guy, he's waiting for a ride, and a wagon stops. He's carrying a load on his shoulders, and he gets in the wagon, and he continues to have the load on his shoulders. So the wagon driver says, "Why don't you put your load into the wagon?" He says, "No, no, you were nice enough to give me a ride. You have to carry my back package also." It's ridiculous. I mean, you guys give me a ride. What difference makes with your package on your shoulders or in the wagon? So really, the Rabbanu Shem is the one who's giving your parnasa. You just have to fulfill a condition. That's it. What's the nafkamina? If you're causing it or not, how much you have to work? If you will consider, what's it called, any hishtadlus enough, you realize that the Rabbanu Shem is giving it to you. But in order, it shouldn't look like an open miracle, right? So you have to do something. So whatever that something is that will prevent you from thinking it's an open miracle, that's enough to do. Anything that you're going to think is an open miracle, right, because you don't have such a moon and bitachon, you think that you have to cause it, then you'll have to cause more. Because other for you, it'll be an open miracle. Right? The mice, Rabbi Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld, that he had a minig in the family. They never borrowed anything from anyone, no matter what the situation was. And one day he left the home in the morning, and it wasn't a morsel of bread in the house. And we can't be masking what Andius was then. Right? There wasn't anything to eat. And they couldn't go send out to Yeish to get it. They had no money. Children had nothing to eat. Came back in the evening, and he sees there's a loaf of bread on the table. He said, "Where'd it come from?" His wife said, I couldn't take it. I went and borrowed a loaf of bread from the neighbor. The children were starving, right, and I couldn't take it. He said, "Fine." He said, "Till now, I thought that you were also on the same wavelength, that we don't borrow things and we have bitachon, and somehow that bread would have come. But I see now that that's not the case, so I have a chiyuv to support you. We can't just now rely on miracles." So he put on his coat and he went out. So somebody followed him. What was he going to go do? Drive a cab? What exactly is Rabbi Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld going to get a job? They followed him. He went to the Shar Yafo, kicked around in the sand over there on the side, found a gold coin, put in his pocket. "That's my month's earnings." Why? Because for him, there was absolutely nothing more miraculous about finding a gold coin, right, that the Rabbanu Shem could, it makes sense, a lot of people lose coins, it's a shahr where hundreds of people come in every day, and inevitably people lose money, so Mustafa, there's money here, so that's as logical to him, right, kicking around the sand and finding a coin, as going to work and getting a paycheck. Why is one more guaranteed than the other? This is just because you worked, you're going to get the paycheck. And who said it's going to be good? Who said the employer is going to pay you? And who says that he won't go bankrupt? There's a million things that could go wrong. Elamai, the Rabbanu Shem gives you a parnasa in that way. Right? People do things that are, you know, crazy, and they become millionaires, and people do all the right things and remain people scrounging around in garbage cans. Right? Russians went to all the right schools, became engineers, doctors, or whatever, and then emigrated to America, to Israel, where they couldn't find a job because they were so qualified, and they end up cleaning the offices of other doctors and engineers and scrounging around in garbage cans for their meals. And people who have no education at all, right, did everything wrong, never went to college, never got a degree or whatever, and probably make more money than anybody who ever went to college or whatever made, right, because of crazy things that they did. It was like the Cabbage Patch Dolls and pet rocks, and people became millionaires. So ultimately, whether you're going to be successful or not is not in your hands. It's up to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Whatever you need, how much hishtadlus you're going to have to do, al pi rov, is whatever you would consider not a miracle. Not a miracle. That's all. God's not going to show you open miracles. So if I think that if I don't work two jobs, I'm not going to be able to make ends meet, and I'm not going to be able to support it, I'm going to have to work two jobs. Because if I only work one job and I get support, it's a miracle to me. So on your level of bitachon, how much you realize that it's the Ribbono Shel Olam in the end who's going to give you a parnasa one way or the other, and you only have to fulfill a condition, the more you believe that, the less you have to do, because the condition becomes less. The less you believe that, the more you have. Because for you, it will be a miracle if you don't do more. So you decide how much effort you have to put in. And you can't just say, you know, what's it called? You'll do it, right? I'm going to do it because I really believe. You have to really believe it, right? Because if I could tell you the story about Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld, right? And tell you that kicking around the sand by Shaar Yafo is just as normal as going to work and getting a job and getting a paycheck, right? I could tell you that, but if it happened to me, right, and I kicked around and found a gold coin after there was no bread in the house, I wouldn't stop talking about it for the next 20 years, right? Because it would be a miracle. So you have to really—it's what you really believe, not what you say you believe. As the famous Hasidic story of a guy comes to the Rebbe, wants a bracha to have children. And the Rebbe gives them a bracha, and they go out and they buy a carriage and they buy what's it called, all the things for the kid. And sure enough, 9 months later they have a child. So the shamus of the Rebbe says, Rebbe, I've been asking you for bracha for a child for years. How come? He said, you ever go out and buy a baby carriage? I give you brachas, right? If you really believed it, right, then it would be. If you get the bracha, but doubt in the back of your mind, you don't really believe it, it's a different story. So really believing and saying you believe, there's a very big difference between them. It's not that a person doesn't believe, just not real to him. So as real as it is to Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld, I'm sure he didn't go talking about the fact that a miracle happened, he found this coin. And that was, you know, it makes much sense to me to find a coin as to get a paycheck. To me, I could say it, but I guarantee you I wouldn't stop talking about it. So it depends where you really hold it. So in any case, so therefore, a person knows that he's only fulfilling a condition, and he's not so tarud, and he doesn't have to worry. There's nothing to worry about, right? If I believe this, then, and I'm on the Madrega, we're talking about Chassid already, much higher Madrega, I really believe it, I really have that bitachon in the Ribbono Shel Olam, right, and I believe that whatever was katzuv to me is what's good for me, and therefore it may be not get what I think I should get, but I put in my ishtadlus and I know what I'm ever going to get. That's what the Ravashim wants me to have. That's real bitachon. That's what the Chazon Ish says. Bitachon is not that I am sure that God's going to do what I want to happen. No, I'm sure that whatever the Ravashim does is for my good, and all I have to do is fulfill certain conditions. I fill the condition, right? Now, whatever the Ramosha wants to do, he'll do, and whatever he does is good for me and finished. There's nothing more I have to worry about. That's a tremendously high madrega. But Chassidus is a high madrega. Okay? But Lamaisa, again, at some level, a person could be on that level, maybe not all the time, but sometimes. Some ways. A percentage of that level. Or something. So it's still kedai to know what it is. Now, going back to Yosef. What was the problem with Yosef? Yosef said, "Ki im zechartani." Could have told the Sarah Mashkin, "Remember me." What's it called? Remember me. Okay, I did my ishtad. I fulfilled the condition. I did put something in motion that now the Ribbono Shel Olam can take and work it out in such a way it doesn't consider a miracle. But Yosef added another thing. He said, "You remember me and zechartani, and you remind me to Paro." What do you have to tell me to remind you to Paro? You did your ishtadlus. You fulfilled the condition that he should remember you. How it'll work out, the Ribbono Shel Olam will make it work out. You did your condition. But Yosef made it appear that he is orchestrating it. I'm telling you, I'm writing the script. You remember me, and you remember me to Paro. So it's not a condition, I'm the cause. I'm telling you, I'm orchestrating how it should happen. So the Rav Shlom said, I'm going to teach you a lesson, Yosef. It's going to happen exactly as you thought. Paro's going to remember, he's going to remember you, and remember you to Paro, and Paro's going to take you out. But it's not going to happen because of you. Why? Because a person, the Gemara says, can remember something to work on it, to act upon it for a year. After that, you file it away in your mind. It becomes old memories. And you're not going to act upon it. So how long could the Sarah Mashkim have remembered Yosef? 1 year. If the last day of the year, before he filed it away in the back of his mind, he went to Paro and told him about Yosef, how long could Paro remember it? Another year. So after 2 years, it wasn't possible anymore that it happened through Yosef. Because most amount of time that Yosef's orchestration could have happened was 2 years. At the end of 2 years, it happened exactly as Yosef said. But he wasn't the cause. That was the lesson. Right? I can get you out of prison exactly as you think. But you don't have to cause it. I can cause it. So you fulfill your condition, and I'll work it out, the Rabban Shalom said. But you think that you're the one orchestrating it, that can't be. That's what that was taught to Yosef, or through Yosef. Could be Yosef himself. Didn't match it, but he gave that impression. Therefore, the Torah teaches us through Yosef this idea. So that's the difference, yeah.
Yosef, he's dealing with the Sarah Mashkin. So, maybe the Sarah Mashkin is not on that level. Maybe he has to mention Rimam Ritvaras, because just remembering him might not leave enough of an impression on the Sarah Mashkin.
Fine,
so
that's if I'm the cause. But if I believe that I'm not the cause, the Rimam should get me out of prison somehow, right? Except I have to do something to give it a place to bichal where you could think that it's natural. So if I tell the Sarah Mashkin, remember me, there's a million things now that can happen that the Sarah Mashkin is remembering. He's in prison, will happen. And I can be told it then in that. Right? But if I think I have to cause it, then you're right. Then maybe just telling him to remember is not going to be enough. I'd better tell him what to do about it. Right? But I'm the one then who's causing it. But if I'm just creating something, a condition, that then the Rabban Shalom can do it, because I gave him the ability to do it, because I fulfilled my condition, then I'm just telling him to remember is enough. I don't have to orchestrate the whole situation. I let the Rabban Shalom figure out how to make it work out. But it's enough that I told the Sarah Mashkin, I did my Ishtadlus. I fulfilled my prerequisite. But if it's more than a prerequisite, I have to orchestrate it. Then Yosef had to tell him what to say to. That's the idea. So if a person, therefore, doesn't want to worry, okay, about his parnos or whatever, and he really believes, he has to have two things. One is, you really believe that the Rabban Shalom's in charge. You are not the one causing your success in anything. And yet, if you don't do anything, it won't happen either, because you have to do it in such a way that could be natural. How much that is depends on how much bitachon you have. So if you have a lot of bitachon, the amount of hishtadlus is going to be minimal. The second thing you have to do is the second thing of bitachon. One bitachon is, I'm not the cause, the Rabban Shalom is. That's one level, that's one factor or component of bitachon. The second one is, once I did my hishtadlus and I fulfilled my condition, whatever the Rabban Shalom is going to do is for my best. So what's there to worry about? I don't have to worry about doing more, because I did what I was supposed to do. Now I should worry, well, maybe the Rabban Shalom won't do what I need. No, that's ridiculous. The Rabban Shalom will do exactly what you need, exactly what you deserve, and not one bit one more, not one bit less. That's all set up by Rosh Hashanah, based on what you need in this world, good or bad, right? And not necessarily a punishment. If you get less, maybe that's what you need for your spiritual welfare. Because if you'd be rich, you would be worse off. You wouldn't be so frugal. Because you're poor. Right? Maybe the opposite. So I have to have two components. One is, I am not the cause, so I don't get involved in doing so much that I'm worried about, if I don't do this, I don't do that. And then there's two kinds of worries. That's what he said, daigas and tirdos. One kind of worry is, I'm so busy thinking about what I have to do to be successful, I have no time to think about anything else. Once I take that away, and I know I don't have to worry about those things, all I have to do is do my hishtadlus. How much hishtadlus is up to how much bitachon. I work on my bitachon a lot, I'll have to do a minimal hishtadlus. Now I have a second worry. Maybe God won't give me what I really need, or what I really want. No, that's the second kind of bitachon. Whatever the Rebbe doesn't give you is what you need, is what's good for you. So if I have both of those bitachonos, I won't have daigas and I won't have tirdos. I won't have tirdos because I won't think I have to cause it, and I won't have daigas because once I've fulfilled my condition, whatever's going to come, I have bitachon, that's what's good for me. That's what he's saying. So those, that madrega bitachon, which includes both of these things, will take away both the tirdos and the daigas. That's what I think he's saying. And with that we finish the Mida of Chassidus, which, like I said, is tremendously high madrigas. What Batya said also, all of this is tremendously high madrigas. So, like I said, with the other Midos too, I think we had to say it from the beginning on, right? That it's still worthwhile learning this, right? First of all, it gives you the incentive to work on it, and there are definitely individuals amongst us, right? I hope that Taka will work on this and right, seriously. But even not, Lamaish, if you know what it is, at certain times we can all have a taste of these midos in our own lives. At certain times we're capable of doing it. So maybe not all day or all the time or in every situation, but in certain situations at certain times, yes. Yeah, so it's good. Okay, next week we start the Mida of Anotha. Next shiur we start the Mida of Anotha. The novel we'll see is not necessarily thinking you're a nobody, but that's okay. We'll get to it and see what anivus is. Okay.